Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Cosmic Channels! I'm Braden, and the Cosmic Lines are now open just before we take on the first call. Just a couple things. I have to quickly apologize to our first caller last week, Edith Feedith. I was having extreme technical difficulties that I was working through during the call. So during the call, I was half listening, and then because of the audio issues, I couldn't save the call to use in the pod version. So my apologies to Edith Feedith. I hate that happened. As always, Cosmic Channels is your show. I just host it. Ways to support the show. You got Super Chat, or the best way is the PayPal here. We're going to have a little stockholder shareholder meeting after the show today to determine what our next move is to grow this show. But we need the help of you fans. So make sure to spread the word of Cosmic Channels. And if you got a story, or you got a friend that's got a story, if you got a friend of a friend that's got a story, get them to call 1-833-703-0424. And just like that, we already have a caller on the line. This is Nathan from Cincinnati, Ohio. He was blowing up the lines 8 minutes early, and so I left him on hold here. Nathan, are you there?
Hello, Braden.
Hey.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Right on, man. How's
it
going?
Great to get in the show.
Oh, thanks for calling in. Thanks for, you know what? A lot of people don't know, like, if you want to be that first caller, you know, 5 minutes early. 5 minutes early is usually the key. 8 minutes early, there's a long, we were just sitting here. He was just sitting here listening to me do stuff. 5 minutes early, usually you can sneak on and get the first call because I'm already in here. What do you got for us tonight?
Well, I got a really awesome two experiences I wanted to share.
Beautiful.
And both of them happen with the same entity, so that makes it kind of wild.
That makes it one story, so we can,
It's definitely something. It's two instances that I have firsthand accounts on. There's numerous others that I don't, that are with the same thing, so we know there's something there. So back in the day, back in college, our fraternity had gotten that party house. It had been a family residence before us when we moved in. And, you know, everybody kind of sensed that something was weird when we first got the house, but nobody knew what. That next summer, we really spent time and, I guess, renovated most of it. And this included kind of exploring the attic that we never went into and the basement that the place had. And in doing so, a couple of the guys found a 2-foot-tall Christmas teddy bear. Now, if you can go ahead and picture, like, nightmare stuff, that's what it was.
Yeah, like some like old button eyes is what I'm picturing. Some little beady black eyes. Little too close together.
Little belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, little vest on and everything. And the odd part was the top left part of it looked burnt. So we thought that was kind of weird. And doing a little research, we found out that the house, a couple years before we had moved in, had a fire. And that's all we could find out about it. So we knew something had happened. My first encounter was over a winter break. Came back to visit, stayed the night in the house, and I was sleeping in the living room area. And they had a big tube TV, and we had ESPN on because why not? And I don't know about you, but ESPN is a 24-hour broadcast down here.
You know what? And it's so funny because ESPN in my head because Andrew said ESPN all the time instead of ESP. When you started saying ESPN, I was thinking mind reading. Andrew's ruined me for that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, we don't. I don't think it's 24 hours here, but we do have, like, you know, TSN and stuff that, you know, it's the constant highlights. Yeah, I'm familiar.
Right. Yeah, cable channels, they don't stop. So I woke up in the middle of the night, woke up, and the TV itself was doing nothing but static. So I was kind of thrown off. But after a late night, I had to get up and take a piss. And the only option in the frat house was to run out to the backyard for guys. So, do what you do. Went out behind the shed. I come back in, and I noticed what sounded like someone in our game room. And it was really odd to me because there were only two other guys staying in the house at the time. One was in the living room, asleep on the couch. I had been in the recliner. So I'm going to check it out. There was no one there.
Yeah.
Now, I step out of the room, and as you step out, you have a direct line of sight down the hallway to the kitchen. And in the kitchen, we've got the little bar area. It's got the containers that we put our hooch in and Solo cups.
Yeah.
And half of a stack of Solo cups lifted without disturbing the others underneath and just dropped to the ground.
Like a fat stack. Yeah. So, like, so how many were, how, like, how tall are these Solo cups?
It was at least like a 10 cup stack.
So is the stack?
Like it was a half stack.
Is it sitting upside down? Or are they sitting right side up? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're sitting open side down.
Open side down, and so just half of them just lift off, boom, and hit the floor.
Lift up, and it looks like someone picked them up. Like, they don't shoot off. Like, they come up and yeah, then just drop to the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm like, okay, this is freaky. I'm disturbed. I go back in the living room. My buddy that had been asleep is now awake. And ESPN is back on the TV. And I said, hey, man, what happened? Did you hear that? And he goes, dude, what are you talking about? Where did you go? And I said, did you hear the cups? And he goes, no, there's been nothing. And he gets up and looks into the kitchen and sees the Solo cups just all over the floor. And we both kind of freaked out and stayed up all night that night. But that was just kind of a little intro.
All right. So just before you get into your next one, I just want to add a couple questions. Cool. Because instantly I'm always trying to think of, like, okay, is there an easy way? Like, was there a draft? Was it a windy night? Could there have been two windows open? Like, can we eliminate that? Or is that a possibility?
The back door could have been cracked, but there's no draft that would have been made. We've basically sealed all the doors shut with renovation paint at that point.
The only other thing from, were you using the cups at all? Like, were these, like, you know, somebody in the chat saying, like, beer pong cups? Okay, because what I was thinking in my head is that maybe they were
general party cups.
Because I was thinking maybe there was some liquid, because I was thinking if, like, the breeze hit them and they had some liquid that they weren't sticking. But if they were a solid stack, that the whole thing would just tip over, not lift off some. It's like they have no weight to them. So that's really fucking strange.
Right. Yeah, no weight, nothing in them.
Yeah.
It could have, but, like, the fact that only half of them moved, it got me.
Yeah, that would definitely, that would definitely give me the heebie-jeebies for sure.
Oh, yeah. I never slept there again. So I made sure to always make it back after any parties or anything else. I wasn't risking it. But my other one was the same house, and it was probably a year later. Friends and I had gone out to the bars now that we were of age. And on the way back, we were going to stop at the house, see a couple of the guys that lived there, hang out for the post party, you know?
Yeah.
And we get there and we go upstairs to where the bedrooms are. And it's basically just a very simple 4-bedroom on a hallway. They all face each other with a bathroom at the end on the middle.
Yeah.
And so I go into the room. My buddy goes, hey, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. He jumps down. And I'm sitting down in the room. I've got two other friends, both of their girlfriends. One of them is holding on to a 4-foot piece, kind of tipped back towards himself.
Yep.
And one of the other guys is playing Halo. And as I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, everyone stops talking. Halo is online multiplayer, is frozen. And the guy that's holding the 4-foot piece, it starts to tip away from his hand. like away from him. And I'm the only one looking around, moving at all. And I'd say it's probably 2 seconds. Everybody comes back to life. The game comes on. He grabs the neck of it before it falls. And I'm kind of looking around. And my other buddy steps into the doorway and says, "Hey, I think it's time to go."
Oh, that's
so
fucking...
I got up.
So hold on. Like, I just want to unpack that one part here. So for a second, for like, whatever, two Mississippis, time froze, except you and this 4 foot piece are the only thing that you noticed movement, and everyone else was just perfect standstill, no sound, no nothing.
No nothing. The halo wasn't moving. Like, nothing.
Weird.
Just that and the 4 foot piece tipping back to, like, set back on its base.
And then your friend comes in, then what?
Yeah, so he comes in from out in the hallway, says it's time to go, and I know that I felt funny. I know he's got a look of just terror on his face, so I get up and we leave. We get in the car, drive away. A couple minutes later, I looked at him and I say, "What just happened?" And he said, "Did you see it?"
Oof.
And that's, again, I get chills asking that, like talking about it. And I said, "No, I was in the room. What are you talking about?" And he said, "I came out of the bathroom. I passed the bedroom that had the fireplace that we are pretty sure the bear came from." He said, "I passed that and I felt someone brush past and like bump into me."
When that
happened, down the stairs that go downstairs, there's a landing and a fire escape door. And one window pane on like a 4-pane window is busted out, but we have a curtain over it. He said the curtain, both bottom corners pulled back, came together like a hand was holding it in the middle of them. And that middle piece went out the window.
Jesus.
And that's when he came to get me, and that's when time unfroze.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
And so those are just two experiences that you've had, but this house has had a plethora of things going on.
Oh, yes. Yeah, those are my two personal that I experienced. We had a couple friends of ours. They're twins. Their mother is very Pacific Islander heritage and very superstitious. The first time she came to visit, she wouldn't even step off the sidewalk to like approach the house.
Weird.
She said she was not going into our house.
It's interesting because I'm like, it doesn't seem like your accounts, like those two anyways, I'm sure you've known more or anything so you could kind of weigh in this, but like, does this seem nefarious to you, or is it just so creepy? Like, what's the reasoning of that you want to get out of there so bad? Like, do you get a bad feeling of it?
Nefarious. It is. From what others have explained, those that spent time living there explained a lot. At night, you'd see in what sounds like little kid shadows moving across the door frames.
Yeah.
So we have this. We're pretty sure that the family that lived there lost a child in the house fire.
Oh, that's terrible.
That it's her. But everyone describes it as a little girl, and that she's never malicious, but she's very playful or likes to make her presence known to like one or two people at a time.
But never really causing any... Like, those are the ones... it's so tough, because it's like... You know, do you really want to pay that thing attention? What if it's some sort of like poltergeist thing where it's like the more attention you give it, you know, the more power you kind of give into it. What are your thoughts? What do you think that thing is? What's at that house?
I think so. At first, before we found the bear, I mean, there was just a presence. Nobody ever saw anything or experienced anything. We just all kind of felt something there.
Yeah.
But after the bear came out, people saw it, interacted. I mean, it stayed on the front porch for almost an entire semester as like a mascot for the house.
Yeah,
and that's definitely poltergeist. You know, you give it, you feed it your energy.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I wonder if it's like, was that just curious, like from your knowledge, and you might not have knowledge on this, but was that time when that thing was out on the deck and everyone was kind of paying it homage kind of thing? Like, was that the time where it was most active?
That's when it all started.
Oh, just started. So I'm kind of curious.
We all had it and paid its respects.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious if it's like that. If that pushes it, further, you know what I mean? Like, gave it some more power to
do
the freeze time and stuff. That's truly wild accounts, dude. Some of those,
the
like, gives
each one.
Yeah, gives me the shivers. It's like, it's creepy. So why you? Like, do you think
we've heard is people talk about the paranormal, there's time dilations or manipulation when it's really strong and really happens. And I definitely felt that way. I for sure believe that there was a little girl there.
Hmm. Interesting.
I don't think she was ever trying to harm anyone.
But why? Like, why? Just she could maybe just targeted two couple people at a time. Like, that's all.
Yeah, it seemed like two or three. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, looking at my son, the way he interacts with adults, it's only a couple at a time. So I almost wonder if that's that child's instinct.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Like, that's all. That's interesting. So maybe that would point to, some sort of child spirit lingering or something. Any, do you know any history of the house? Is there anything, any history of, like, you know, a child passing away or something happening in that house?
Just from the house fire that was there, because it was a child, there's no, like, actual public record of a...
Yeah, so it's hard to track down.
Their death.
Yeah.
But it does mention that it was a full house fire. It's a
local legend,
in the
basically.
Middle of the night in the winter. Yeah, definitely local legend for that place, but it is creepy. They've all since moved out, and other people have taken over.
I don't blame them. I would do the same. Nathan, thank you so much for the first call tonight. That was an awesome one. I let you go too because the two were tied and they were very interesting. So thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. It was great talking to you, man.
Perfect.
I agree. I will listen to the rest.
All right, take care.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Just an awesome call from Nathan from Cincinnati there. That's truly terrifying. Interesting, you know. What compels a spirit to do that if they're doing that? Like, is it just for attention? It's interesting. But just like that, the lines are open. 1-833-703-0424. This is your show, so I need a caller. I need someone calling in to tell me a story. Until we get a caller, I'm going to pitch you some stuff. You know, help support the show. This show, what I want to use all the money we raise from the show is to upgrade this show. So every dollar that is donated is going to be used to upgrade the Cosmic Lines, upgrade the streaming services, so that we can stream more places, get some more eyes on it. But we'll talk about all that afterwards. I'm waiting for a call, 1-833-703-0424. I was hoping to get another call right away because I do have a short story, but it's a little bit of a lengthy one. So I'm going to get into that now, and then hopefully if I get a call, I'll just put you on hold while I finish reading this. This is from Andre. It says, time for us to meet. I'm Andre, Lennox on Patreon, Portuguese, 3387, born, fuck yeah. English is not my main language. Hopefully, Braden will perform amazingly when reading. Spoiler alert, the following story is real. Thus, I agree, we can all see things and I imagine stuff. Brains are quite complicated, and I won't be upset if you, my favorite bumcasters, find any kind of explanation to these experiences I had. I do accept other opinions and for sure jokes. All right, so yeah, short story but lengthy. Anything I read that's short is lengthy. I gotta sound these things out. So let's get into it. This is the experience that unlocked my brain to see further, to believe there is much more to this life, to actually see things in different ways. Still to this day, I know I did see something, but I am always trying to debunk myself on this matter. So I have a way of presenting plausible arguments on why I did see that, why I do not need to create stories, and why as an 8-year-old I had a pretty grown brain. Awesome summer night. I was about 8 or 9 years old. It was already past 9 p.m. The location was Azores BA, Air Force Base number 4 in Azores, Terracea Island. I'm guessing that's in Portugal. It was just a normal, happy summer night playing footy with my friends. Our parents were all at the Sergeant's Club, just having beers. Our moms were also there, and we were having the times of our lives. So either I was thirsty or wanted something to eat, I went to look for my parents. Long story short, my dad's wallet's at home, so he asked me to go get it. From the Sergeant's Club to my house is about a minute walk. As I'm walking out of my house with my dad's wallet, I go past the mini market behind the Sergeant's Club, where Mom worked during the daytime. So as I was walking past, I see a shadow. Hat, big coat. It's pretty weird. It's summer, but who gives a fuck? What the fuck? As soon as I go past the shadow, I realize there was no volume to it. It was just a shadow, smoking a cigarette. I never ran so much in my life. Guess what? My dad and his mates started laughing after I told them. Funny little kids. My mates made fun of me after I told them. Obviously, as kids and professional explorers, we went there. Sadly, nothing was there, and my brain just got into stupid mode. Not a good thing. Happily, people don't care about this stuff, and I suppose no one remembered the next day. Well, for me, it's a different story. 22 years later, still in my head, like a bloody equation I have to solve. So this happened only because of my curiosity. Was just randomly talking with my mom during dinner, and I told her I was looking for stuff about shadow people and that I did see one when I was little. Then she starts crying. I asked her, why is she crying? Mom tells me Granddad told her something similar when she was little. Also, Granddad passed away when she was 19, so she gets pretty upset when talking about him. So Mom tells me that Granddad, on a few occasions in a space of a year, while going to work on his bicycle in the 1950s or 60s, was stopped by someone who would say, "Excuse me, sir, can you light my cigarette, please?" It's told Granddad made that bicycle look like a sports bike till one day he got effed up, or he got fed up and stopped. This time, the shadow figure was legs crossed and not touching the floor. He was actually hovering above the floor. The figure simply vanished when Granddad approached, and years went by. And one day, when my granddad was taking my nan home after a date walk, he saw another figure leaning on a tree. After he left Nan, he tried to approach the shadow, but it vanished. I asked Mom if Granddad was a drinker, only because Portuguese, especially in that time, were hardcore drinkers. And there you go, trying to find a plausible reason, but my mom said he was not a drinker and only a smoker of cigarettes. Granddad did not tell any other stories of shadow people, but there are some creepy stories I can share later. Just wanted to focus on this particular experience. My research took me to an idea that I feel some people might disagree. Basically, most people see shadow figures as a bad thing. And I can understand, since some monsters of some sort, and it occurs during sleep. But me, I only saw a shadow of a man wearing a fedora and a coat. In no way I ever felt that it was going to harm me. I only felt the shiver when I went past it. Bloody hell, no volume. There was not a normal explanation. I just reacted, run. Obviously, I had to run to my parents, adrenaline at peak levels, but I wish I didn't. From what my mom told me, Granddad felt the same, afraid, curious, and amused. During my amateur research, I crashed into many forums and all sorts of information talking about bad shadow figures and do not let you wake up. Pretty different from what I had. Then I found someone from Brazil that had a similar experience. A figure, no volume, like it's 2D, with a fedora hat, a coat, smoking a cigarette. Does not interact with you, just watches you. And the same mixed feelings. My opinion, I did really see something. Also, tried to reason with myself since I am older now. Just tried to debunk myself. To this day, it's stuck here. No more research material. Glad I could share with open-minded people that are able to think openly and hopefully will listen to your opinions. If not, glad I could share. Keep it up. You guys are getting to the top of podcasting, and for me, you are the top of theories and conspiracy pods. That's from Andre, a.k.a. Lennox. Yeah, I mean, that's people in the chat are always saying Lou Bega, and that's 100% a Lou Bega call. You know, we've talked about Hatman before, but it's weird that those, because I've told my experience of with the shadow person when I was awake, and it stuck with me. And I know, like, people say, oh, maybe you were sleeping. I was like, no, I know I wasn't asleep yet. I hadn't gone to bed. I wasn't sleeping. So it's I always find that so interesting when people also have shared those experiences, because, like, I know nothing. It opened a door at my house. It was tall. It was like, it was a silhouette. That was it. Just a dark silhouette. I have no idea what it was, but creepy. Thank you, Andre, for writing that in. I need a caller. 1-833-703-0424. Call in, you hum and hon. Call in. Maybe the lines are broken. I need someone to call in just to test them. You guys got a theory you want to talk about? You got a ghost story? You got a dream you want to discuss? I'll take one dream a week. Go ahead, call 1-833-703. Is that the number? 0424. And let's call in, people. Come on. This is a fan-driven show. I can't do it. I can't do it without you guys. So please, someone call in with your story. If you're sitting there listening, I'm in on. Now's your chance. 1-833-703-0424. Someone call in to make sure the line's working. Maybe I heard a weird beep and now I'm worried that something's wrong with the line. So you know what? I could use some help. So fuck you, call. You guys know what to do. I do have another write-in story, but I wanted to save that for next week. So I'm just sitting here waiting for a call. I mean, not much else I can do. Someone call and make sure the lines are working. There we go. Look at that. There it is working. Cosmic Channels.
What's up? This is Agent Anderson from Santa Rosa, California.
Hey, thanks for saving the day, Agent Anderson.
Yeah, no problem.
People love people. You know, the reception from your call last week was pretty good. So, what do you got? What do you got for us this week?
I was just kind of winging it. Well, first of all, I think some people get nervous calling in. They're kind of worried, or they have stage fright or whatever. So my advice to them, if you're worried about calling in, all you got to do is picture Braden in his underwear.
Yeah.
And then all your nervousness will just fall away. You'll be fine.
And even better, you don't have to picture it, because I am, in fact, in my underwear. Just, we need the poo in it over here. So, you know, it is a weird phenomenon, because even I have talked to so many people on the podcast. I've interviewed people. I've been guests on other shows. Goddamn, I call into the radio station. It's like I've got PTSD. I'm like shaking. I'm like, did I win the prize? Like, it's just absolutely, it's just wild. So yeah, it's you don't have to be nervous. When the lines are free, call. Agent Anderson, what do you think's your favorite? What's your favorite UFO story? What do you think? What's your favorite one?
My favorite. There's so many good ones, but one of the ones we did recently is the Kolaris incident. I think you guys did that one too a while back.
Yeah, quite a while ago.
So it was in. Yeah, and what I liked about this one.
Give the quick summary for the listeners here.
Well, this is the Chupa Chups. So yeah. When you're looking at translations, it says the lollipop UFOs. But there were people in like a rural part of Brazil who were getting attacked, not just seeing UFOs, but people all over this region, all over the Kolaris, the area. It's like in the northern part. People were being attacked. They'd be hit by a beam of light. They'd be paralyzed. And then when the beam of light left, they would have these two little marks on them, and they would feel like something was being taken from them. Some of them had missing time. But what makes this such a great case is that while the UFO wave was happening, or the flap, or whatever you want to call it, while it was happening, the military actually sent a task force out there to investigate. and they stayed for a while, and they took like 16 hours of video. They took tons of witness statements. They took audio. They took photographs. And you can find, I was not able to find any of the video, but you can find a lot of the pictures online and a lot of the reports and a lot of the, you know, witness statements and stuff.
I mean, it was like Operation Plate from what I remember.
Yeah.
And that just because of where they actually like went in, because they were just, these poor villagers were just being absolutely terrorized continuously.
Yeah. And people died.
Yeah.
People died after, and some people would be paralyzed for like 15 days afterwards. It was wild. And we have military documentation. This is not just some villagers who were making stuff up. This was thousands of people who saw this, and we have military documentation. The military was there until the commanding officer in charge of the operation, until he had a UFO encounter. And then after that, they peaced out. And then they still investigated it, but they got rid of their permanent encampment there, and they would send people to investigate, but they didn't have as much of a military presence to the end there. But that was a wild one, and I think it might be the best evidence as far as, you know, physical evidence. We have, you know, like I said, photographs. We have pictures of the witnesses or the victims who, you know, with the skin marks and stuff. There's so much to this one. And these days, because of Google Translate, we can actually have pretty good access to the documents.
The original documents.
Usually it's hard to get that stuff. Yeah, the original, yeah. It's hard to get that stuff sometimes because of translation issues, but these days it's not as bad as it used to be.
Well, the only thing, because I remember from my recollection, and it's been a while since I looked into this one of the things that always kind of like, where I like sat on a fence, because I am a huge believer in UFOs and aliens, and I'm a huge believer that the CIA does fucked up things in foreign countries. And those two things exist, but sometimes it's different. Like, so, and I remember thinking this one, because no one actually, like, if I remember correctly, there wasn't a lot of like people like having abduction experiences where they're like, they were like being terrorized on the ground. So part of me always thought if this was some sort of advanced tech being tested on people just to see if it worked, but it's, like, either way, whatever happened here was terrifying, like absolutely terrifying for these people.
Yeah, the people were not happy.
Kolaris UFO, it's Kolares?
Kolares. Kolaris? I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it. They pronounce stuff weird there sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone who doesn't speak English pronounces English words weird.
Yeah, I think some areas they'll say R's like H's and you know stuff like that. It's pretty funny sometimes.
Dan's really good at. I think it is Kolaris UFO though. I think you're right.
And I think that was in 1977, so I don't think that would be outside of the realm of possibility to have some kind of advanced technology that they were developing and experimenting. But you are correct though. The CIA has done some really nasty stuff. We looked into the MK Ultra.
Oh, it's
and they
insane.
Were doing they were doing experiments on mental patients, like people who would go in for anxiety or for schizophrenia. And this one lady I read about, they were able to completely wipe her memory to where she forgot everything. She forgot language skills, she forgot her name, she forgot her family, her husband, everything. She was just wiped clean, like a clean slate.
They were doing
it's absolutely insane.
They were doing so much fucked up stuff. Like my personal favorite is Operation Midnight Climax, where they were scooping they basically owned a brothel. The CIA bought a brothel, and then like guys would come in with wives and businesses and stuff looking for, you know, sex, and then they would get blackmailed and drugged like while you're doing this, and they're just basically just watch through people to see what would happen. And they knew these people wouldn't do anything about it because they're like, what are they going to do? We'll tell them they were coming to a brothel to cheat on their wives. It's a perfect they had the perfect little fucking plan. Go, there's so many. I mean, Operation Sea Spray, they fucking killed people in the States with venereal disease, like the worst UTIs you could possibly imagine, that actually led to deaths in some people, straight up caused by the CIA. It's wild.
Yeah, they've done all kinds of nasty stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that people suspect them of, but nobody can really prove, like certain assassinations and things like that. But yeah, stay away from the CIA, man.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah.
Don't go anywhere near them.
Yeah, don't be in their bad books. Don't be trying to run under a communist party in a third world country because you're in trouble.
Yeah. There's a couple of different ways to get on the bad side. So I have a couple other things I was thinking of, like, all right, if I call in next week, what can I talk about? One of the things, so every once in a while I run across some strange news stories, and I thought that you might appreciate this one. So here's the headline, and you might not believe this is a real headline, but trust me, it is. It's from USA Today. The headline is, attorney suspended for pooping in a Pringles can, leaving it in victim advocate's parking lot. So...
apparently, I mean, come on. Was it an emergency? I mean, we've all, like, listen, I haven't even used a Pringles can before. I haven't even given that courtesy. Like, there was nothing around. I would if I had it. Like, so, like, how bad? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're all going to paint this guy with a bad brush, but, like, we don't know. What level of emergency was this?
Well, he threw it at a parking lot where, you know, people that were in a court case that he was against. And his excuse was that it was just sort of his hobby to poop into a Pringle can and just sort of toss it around from his car. That was sort of a prank that he pulled, I guess, that was his defense. But the judge didn't buy it, so he was kicked out, probably disbarred. I don't know. That was just absolutely hilarious to see that on a somewhat major outlet.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see some really wild stories.
It's interesting. Like, I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt till he was throwing it around. Then it's like, that's a bad luck. Hey, Agent Anthony, thank you again for calling in. Plug your show before you go.
Yeah. All right. My show is All Things Strange. You can find it wherever you get podcasts. And everybody call in. Don't be afraid. Braden's a super nice guy. He will he'll take care of you, man. He will help you answer questions and lead you in a good conversation. Don't be afraid.
We can breathe through it together.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Have fun.
Thank you, buddy. Peace out.
Bye.
And just like that, the Cosmic lines are back open. That's 1-833-703-0424. This is driven by your guys' calls. So if you got a weird story, you've got a weird headline, you got a conspiracy theory you want to talk about, you got a little alien tidbits you want to get off your chest, you've got some encounter stories, Bigfoot, cryptids, ghosts, I want them. 1-833-703-0424. The lines are open. Fuck you, call us. Let's go. I mean, Agent Anderson's a beauty. People in the chat, go check out All Things Strange. Guy's a top shelf beauty. He drove across California to pick up these hats for us. I'm wearing this hat because of Agent Anderson. We got screwed on shipping, and Agent Anderson saved the day. So we're eternally grateful to that guy. Friend of the show, always. All right. Well, if no one else is going to call, I got another story here. Let me pull up here. Pull this one. All right. Okay, so I can't say this person's name. All right, so this one, I'll give last second. Anyone, come on. 1-833-703-0424. I mean, if you're nervous about calling, you want to write into the show, you can always do that. Send it into cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com. Just put in the subject line, fan submission, fan story, and I will read it live on air. And in the podcast version, I add some little music and stuff to it. So without further delay, this is from Jason Bourne. My name is Jason Bourne, due to not wanting to be named. Can't get enough of the show. Look forward to listen every week. Now I know from episodes long ago that you wanted alien abduction stories. Well, I thought that it's time for everyone to hear my story. I've only told two people this. One was my wife and my best friend, who is also a fan of the show. The dates of the abductions were between 2001 and 2006. I lived in North Carolina in the suburbs of our town in Hendersonville. My bed was on the back wall where I was looking out the front bedroom window when laying down. My first abduction was in 2001. When I woke up, which is unlike me due to the fact I'm a deep sleeper, I seen three little grays outside my window, which none was the same height. The left one was the shortest, then the middle one being the tallest by about 5 inches, and the other one on the right being in between them. After staring back at them for what seemed like forever, I suddenly passed out and woke up in a bright-ass room laying on a metal bed. Light was so bright that every metallic-looking wall was reflecting the light, which made the room have no darkness to it. I only could open my eyes and look around. My body couldn't move at all, even though I wasn't strapped down to the table. Next thing I know, a tall gray walked into the room and started inspecting me. I could never remember if they did anything to me other than just look me over, but I think they let you remember what they want you to. The tall gray left the room, and the next thing you know, I'm passed out again, waking up on my bed the next morning. The second time I was abducted was when I was 10-ish. It was similar to the first time. Other than my bed being moved to the other corner, which when I felt a presence, I sat up and looked out the same window. When I woke up on the table again, after they were done checking on me, they let me get up and walk around the ship. It was full of doorways and long hallways. When I got to the end, a door opened. It was the entrance to the command center. It was nothing but a big room full of buttons and screens, but no windows. There were a couple of grays working up there, some tall and some little ones. After looking around for a bit, I got escorted back to the room, and after entering the room, I passed out, and next thing you know, I'm back at the house waking up the next morning. It took a while to remember what happened. Later, it all started coming back to me. Now, the most recent thing that happened to me was in 2010, when I moved back to West Virginia. It was Friday night. My brother and I were on our way back home from skateboarding and hanging out. We lived in the middle of nowhere on top of a mountain. It was around 11 o'clock at night. We were heading up the hill to an intersection at the top of the hill. I noticed a big craft, looked as big as a football field, and the darkest black color to it. Flat on the bottom, flat on the sides, and rounded corners with no sound. Now, what was strange is that it wasn't moving fast, probably around 10 miles per hour or less. It was just hovering over the tree line, which was about 50 to 70 feet tall. I'm freaking out in the passenger seat, saying to my brother, "Holy shit, did you see that?" My brother replied, "See what?" While I'm having my heart racing on what I saw, I do believe it was the ship that I was on. It was headed down the ridgeline to my house, and I thought it was coming back for me, but I noticed I wasn't alone, or just let me know I'm not crazy. But when we made the corner onto the road I lived on, it was gone. Sorry it's so long, but I had to get this out. I didn't tell this story to people because I didn't want them to think I'm crazy. I've only told two people this. You can think what you want, but I rarely have dreams, and I know the difference. I thought, why not just tell the best podcast around to tell it? Keep up the awesome work. That is fucking terrifying. I mean, I'm going to reply to this guy. I got to get this guy on the show. I want to, like, I'll blur his voice. I want to hear this live. This is insane. That's exactly the tree line thing reminds me of, like, what we just talked about on Alien Theorist Theorizing. We were talking about the Exeter incident, right? Where this thing was like hovering around the trees just like that. That's a phenomenal. That's terrifying. I want to know more. Like, these are the stories I love. I love getting these stories, but they're so frustrating because I'm like, I have questions. Like, have you ever done hypnotic regression? Like, have you had any of these other issues? Like, do you have any weird marks on your body? Like, I've got so many questions that we can't get answered. But thank you, Jason Bourne. I know your real name. I'm going to reach out to you to see if we can't talk about this further. But thank you so much for sending that in and sharing it with us. You've now told a lot more people, but that's okay. I mean, we got to share these things. We got to get these stories out there because your story might get someone else inspired to tell their story and their account. Maybe they have a very similar one to you. So thank you, Jason Bourne, for sending that in. Again, if you want to write in, if you're feeling nervous about calling and you want to write in, you can write your stories to cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com and I'll read it live on the air. But the cosmic lines are back open. 1-833-703-0424. Come on, it's 6:44. We got 15 more minutes. I got no more stories to read, so this is up to you. This is fan-driven. I want your story, so please call in 1-833-703-0424, and I want to hear a story. Oh, awesome, guys. Thank you. Joshua sent in $20, and Clayton, back-to-back supporting the show. Thank you so much. That really helps. I mean, we'll get into what we're going to do. Easy show to call, 1-833-703. Yes. Welcome to Cosmic Channels. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Plymouth, Minnesota.
Perfect. Hey, can you do me one favor and just turn off the live stream?
Oh, yeah, yep.
Just because it gives an echo. It's a little bit behind. And then one more time. Yeah. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Calling from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Beauty. And what do you got for us? If you don't have to give your name, I'll just call you Jason Bourne. What do you got for us tonight?
I don't mind. My name is Michael. I'm ultra stoked on Instagram, but it's like one of those what is it called? Sleep paralysis stories.
All right. I'll allow it. I said I'd let one go through, so you're the one tonight. Let's hear it.
Okay. Definitely freaked me out, and I've had them, like, it happened a lot of times. So, like, I never sleep on my back. I tell everybody to do that. Don't sleep on your back, because that's what always happens to me.
That's what the anyways, demons want?
I don't know. For me, anyways, it's like when I sleep on my back, they come for me. Anyways. So, this is in my dad's old place on the other side of the state. But, so I'm like laying on our, sectional downstairs, and it's like, you know, a big couch, and there's an ottoman piece in the middle, and I'm just kind of like sprawled out across the whole couch.
Yeah.
And, I was laying on my stomach, so I thought I was in the good. I thought I was all right. I was like, all right, called it a night. So anyways, I'm sleeping, right? And I'm like falling asleep. So what happens is the sleep paralysis happens. And I'm like freaking out because I hate that when it happens. It's a really weird feeling. To anybody that's happened.
Yeah, I've never had it happen. So just quickly touch it, like, is it just you're just like actually paralyzed from everything other than your eyes? Like, that's kind of my understanding of it.
Yeah, it's the weirdest feeling. It happened to me when I was really young, and it always happens randomly. It could happen any night, but it's like you're getting really tired, and all of a sudden your body falls asleep before your consciousness does. So it's like you're like, oh my god, I can't move, and you're like awake inside your body. And they say like how to get out of it is like you got to wiggle your big toe or whatever, or like you got to get like a little part of your body to move, and then you can kind of shake yourself out of it, back to like, you know, wake your body back up anyways.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's weird, man. Like, it's happened to me, like I said, from when I was a kid until, you know, it could happen any day. So like I'm saying, I was laying on the couch and on my stomach, sprawled out. And it was so weird because usually they just like grab my shoulders, although like it just feels like somebody's grabbing your body. It's a really uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah.
You're, like, your body falls asleep and then it feels like you're getting grabbed. It's really weird. Anyways, I'm like passed out. My body falls asleep, but my consciousness is still awake, and I can, it almost feels like you can like see them in your room, or you can like feel the presence of this like spirit or like shadow person or whatever, you know, there's a lot of different terms for these, this, whatever this thing is,
whatever,
or if it's just like I don't know if it's like, who knows what it is. Anyways, so it's like walking up behind me, and I don't know, man. This is like the craziest time that ever happened to me. It like literally went up and yanked on my nutsack.
Yeah, that doesn't sound that bad. How hard was this?
Bro, it was painful. I was freaking out.
I was not prepared for this when you said that was the worst experience I've had. I'm like, all right, that doesn't sound. I mean, I guess getting sexually assaulted by some sort of spirit from another realm is. I shouldn't be laughing. Sorry, you're a victim here. You're a victim of spiritual sexual assault. My apologies. I'll take it serious.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I was like, this is different than it's ever been. This is not good. And I got out of it right away, and it was a crazy feeling. And I literally spun around, sat up, and looked in the room, and I was like, "What? No way!"
Just full torqued, huh? Just rock hard,
bro. It messed me up, and I was up for like at least another half an hour, an hour or so. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny, dude. That's really funny. I think you're the first person to ever tell me a sleep paralysis story where you were sexually assaulted. So that's a first. I don't even know. I guess you call it Ghostbusters on that one. I guess you got to report that to somewhere. What do you think these things are, though? I mean, all jokes aside, that like, you know, a lot of people experience this phenomenon. Like, what is your take on it as an experiencer of it? Like, what do you get from it? Do you think it's something just in your head of being vulnerable, or are these things spirits? Do they have a mind of their own? What are your thoughts?
I would say, wait one sec, then my dog got I would say for my more like, not necessarily sane, I guess you could say sane option, an option that would be believed by more, you know, just not so far out there, I guess you could say. I would say something to do with like just the human psychology when you're going to sleep and your body shutting off, and then maybe it just has something to do with your, I don't know, your body falling asleep. That's like what the
it's just like weird. What I would it's draw just, to. It's just weird to me without, that it's like in that situation when your body falls asleep before your consciousness, the first thing your consciousness does is like, and let's create demons out of thin air. like it's such a insane. That's such an insane response to that, like that certain event to me, where you're like danger, like, you know what I mean, like ultimate danger.
Right.
That's so weird. But maybe that's part of fight or flight response, is that your body knows that you're now vulnerable, so it's trying to get you out of it. But what a weird fucking way of doing that. I don't know.
Yeah,
like I'm just based on what you, because I'm still in the camp of like, this is when the fucking spirits know you're vulnerable and they come and fucking yank on your nuts.
right. The last thing you'd ever think to ever happen to anybody.
Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, it's fucking terrifying.
So that's what the sane part of me thinks. I'm not this. I don't know why I keep saying that. It's just like the rationale.
Yeah.
Part
now,
of me
what's the to think what's that. The irrational side of you think?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm pretty into this kind of world and this stuff, and I've been watching you guys' show for at least 5 years now, and love the show. You guys keep doing it, keep killing it. But anyways, I'm pretty into this stuff, so I would say from my perspective, it really seems like when you're going to sleep, your brain waves are changing from, you know, whatever brainwave frequency it is when you're fully conscious.
Like near REM kind of thing.
Sleep.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that first layer of whatever frequency your brain waves are changing to, you're on like a different parallel or like frequency that other spirits are on. And that's like the purgatory or like, you know, I'm not sure if it's the astral realm or whatever, but that's kind of what I am drawing a conclusion from, because it just seems. It just feels very like an actual experience versus it being like, I don't know, it's really hard to explain, but it just feels real.
Yeah.
Even though you're like half asleep, half awake.
I mean,
so I don't know. It's
one of those things where I'm like, I kind of want to experience it for myself so I can kind of weigh in better on like what I thought, because I've only heard other people's. But at the same time, I'm like, it does sound terrifying. So I'm like, I don't really want it to happen. I'm kind of torn. So it's fascinating. It is a fascinating thing.
I don't condone it.
Yeah. Hey man, thanks for calling in. Saving the end of the show here. I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to make time for one more caller if he wants to come in. But thank you for, being brave enough to come and share your sexual assault story with all the Cosmic Channelers. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, I figured it'd be a funny one. That every time I think about it, it makes me crack up, and I'm like, man, if I tell people about this, I wonder what they would think.
Yeah, good. Well, I think it's hilarious. So, hopefully, you've opened a door for more people to share their, if they've been sexually assaulted by ghosts or aliens, they will no longer fear calling into the show. Thanks to you.
Yep. I hope more people give the show a call.
That's only second episode back, so I'm sure we'll get the ball rolling here. Thanks so much for calling.
Yes, sir. You guys have a good one.
You too. Just like that, the lines are open. Now I've left this. We'll do one more Papa Taco. If you want to call in, this is bonus. If you want to call in, share your story, you can tell me after if you want to cut, and I will cut it. 1-833-703-0424. I'll give you a couple minutes here, or just let me know in the chat you don't want to. We'll go right into the shareholders meeting. I'll end this episode, and we'll end this meeting or in this Cosmic Channels. Let me know. I'm just waiting for you. You teased us. I want you to call. You teased us in the chat. So 1-833-703-0424. Give you 1 minute here. Let's see. If not, there's always next week, which is all good. Okay, before we end there, I was going to say, all right. All right, well, I'm going to end this Cosmic Channels. With that, the Cosmic Lines are officially closed for the night.
To present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.